Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High in studio. And also in studio with me is Jacob Weber and Adavin Skrantz from the K-State Extension offices. Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Very well. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a week before Christmas, so everybody's got to be excited about that. So it'll be Christmas time, and most of us will get some time off, or at least a day off. So any big plans for Christmas for you guys?
Stay home.
And just a kind of quick update, because I talked about it a little bit earlier. This will be Jacob's last show today,
I believe, correct? Yep.
And you said your first one was back in 1990?
May 2nd, 1990.
Remember the exact date. So 29 years of doing Green Side Up. That's a very long time to do a show.
It started out originally as a summer program.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was Lance Allred wanted to do it all year long. And so we started doing that. And eventually Scott Gordon decided, I want to sit in on one of them. And it worked out pretty good. So then we started teaming up. And it has worked into this type of program.
Right.
The first program, I think, started airing after the 10 o'clock hour, and then it was moved to earlier in the day because more listeners at that time, and expanded a little bit. Now we have I consider it a really nice gardening show.
Oh, absolutely.
Or not necessarily gardening show, because we have the rest of the ag agents, and also family consumer science agents and 4-H agents coming in and talking. And my replacement will be starting here in January, but I don't know when he will make his first appearance. It's a guy, Jesse Gilmore, and he's from the Kansas City area, I think Overland Park, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. So he'll get broke in.
So, yeah, he'll be coming in, and we'll look forward to meeting him. But obviously, we're going to miss having you in every week, Jacob. I've only been here 3 months, man, but it's definitely been a pleasure working with you,
sir.
Thank you. But before we get into all that, we still got one more show to do. So let's go ahead and get to it. One of the first things you wanted to talk about today was amaryllis.
Amaryllis gift plants. Very popular at Christmas time. Maybe not quite as popular as the poinsettia gift plant. Amaryllis is a member of the lily family. It's a bulb, and it's sold as a dormant bulb, and can be potted up. Most of the kits that are sold include a pot and potting soil, and the bulb is ready to bloom. It blooms very showy blooms, very large blooms. One of the things that we can do to keep the plant a little bit more attractive is to give it lots of light and keep the room cool. Keep a room around 65 degrees. Well, that's a little bit less than comfortable for some folks. But more likely, you just enjoy the plant. The flower stalk is the first thing that comes up from the dormant bulb. Most bulbs are going to be large enough that they will go ahead and produce one flower stalk. Some of the more premium-sized bulbs will actually produce two flower stalks. A good quality bulb will produce four large blossoms per stalk. And these are large blossoms. They're going to be the size of a softball when they bloom. And the colors include a brilliant red color, some pinks, and I think that's about it. Pinks, white, not pure white, but more of a whitish color, but with a little bit of a blush of pink in it. Some mottled colors, I believe, as well. But the most popular, of course, is going to be the brilliant red amaryllis. Caring for the amaryllis, they can be kept and rebloomed for years. I have one that I've kept well over 15 years now. It's produced some daughter plants or offsets, And so it's a pot full now. Almost killed it 1 year because I forgot about it. And when I overwinter it, I overwinter it as a dormant bulb and then bloom it, not at Christmas time, but I rebloom it about Easter time. Bring it out when the temperatures are starting to warm up. But 1 year I forgot to bring it out of storage, and so it struggled till about September without light. And it survived though. To get the amaryllis to rebloom, of course you need to grow it for several months. It's best to grow it outdoors. Partial light or morning light and afternoon shade would be a good combination. It doesn't have to be in shade at all, but you want to grow it and keep it fertilized so it produces some nice quality leaves. And then towards fall, usually, if you want to rebloom it in at Christmas time, you need to start about the middle of August. Don't give it any water and don't allow it to have any water. That forces the bulb into dormancy. This is a more of a tropical plant, so cold temperatures are not necessary for dormancy, and it is not cold hardy, so leaving it outdoors in freezing temperatures is not good for the plant. But it takes about 8 to 12 weeks of dormancy, once that bulb goes dormant, for it to initiate a flower bud. And then once it initiates a flower bud, then any time it receives water, it'll take off and grow. And sometimes it actually starts to push that flower bud a little bit before, so you know it's ready to bloom. Reblooming again occurs just as soon as it has water, and usually within about a couple of weeks to 3 weeks after you begin watering the plant, it will produce the flower. So it's fairly simple plant to grow. Blooms once a year, so for the most part, unless you try to force it into another dormancy, but it's better just to bloom it once a year. You can enjoy the plant. If you just want to enjoy the flowers, just pot it up and let it bloom and use it as an indoor plant until you don't like it anymore, and then off to the compost pile, I guess, if you want.
There you go. Put it over there in the compost pile. So we also have in studio with us today, we have Adavin Scrantz. Good morning, Adavin.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing good. And a few things you wanted to talk about. One of the first things, highlighting programs coming up for the K-State Extension Office.
Yes. So we have a few programs coming up in the new year. So if you're looking for things to do in January and February, these might be of interest to you. So it's not actually the first program we have coming up, but registration for this program does close at the end of the month, so you want to make sure to get registered for it. And that is the Farm Financial Skills for Women in Agriculture. It is a 4-week program. It begins on January 15th, and it will be January 15th, 22nd, 29th, and February 5th. Those are all Wednesdays. It will be Wednesday evenings from 5:30 to 8:30, and we're holding it in 3 locations in the district. It will be held in Sycamore, Parsons, and Hepler, so you can choose whichever location is closest and most convenient for you. Some topics we'll be covering are balance sheets, record keeping, income statements, cash flows, so a lot of financial related topics. And then we'll also be covering a little bit about stress management and have some local speakers as well. There is a $40 registration fee that's just to cover all the curriculum. It's a little bit more of a classroom style type of program, and dinner is provided. There's also local scholarships available, and you can contact the Extension office for more information about those. And to register, you can visit the Ag Manager website, and that is agmanager.info, to get registered for that program. And then the first program we have coming up in the new year is the 2020 Corn School. It is on January 8th at the Research Center in Parsons. It starts at 8:30 with registration, and it goes until about 2 in the afternoon. And then in February, we also have a lambing and kitting workshop coming up on February 10th. It will start at 6 p.m., and it will also be at the Research Center in Parsons. And in that workshop, we'll be covering both care of ewes and does kind of before and during kitting and lambing, and also how to care for those kids and lambs when they're first born, and some important considerations.
So the one in Parsons is going to be really busy. Lots of programs going on there.
It's in the most it's the most central location for the district,
right.
So it's pretty popular to hold programs at.
lots of programs going on there, and I've been to Parsons once. It's a really, really cool town, especially the downtown area. It's a pretty cool little area. Another thing you wanted to talk about this morning was heat lamps, and basically, you know, tips and stuff like that for heat lamps.
Yes, so it's gotten cold recently. And it seems like it's going to stay cold for a while. It's finally decided to be winter. And with the cold weather, of course, it's important to keep animals warm and, of course, provide them with plenty of food and water and shelter, just like producers do year-round. But for some of the smaller or younger animals, sometimes you can put straw or shavings down and add a heat lamp for extra warmth during the cold nights. And while those are all great options to keep animals warm, unfortunately, the combination of straw and heat lamps is also a potential fire hazard. And of course, we want to take any precautions we can to help avoid barn fires. First off, it's just taking consideration the quality of the heat lamp. Some of the factors that can make a poor quality heat lamp that you want to watch out for are short, thin cords, poor connections to the fixture, and unreliable attachment points for hanging. And if you look for heat lamps, that they make some now that are plastic and they're fully enclosed, and those are a little bit safer because the plastic won't get as hot as the metal, and because they're fully enclosed, if it were to fall, there's less chance of fire hazard due to the bulb breaking. And then also, when you hang those heat lamps up, of course, one of the most convenient options is just to use baling twine or whatever you have handy, because, you know, usually I've done it also. You want to get those heat lamps hung up in time if, like, cold weather moves in like it did the beginning of the week. But if you're able to hang them in a more permanent fashion using chain, or some people use cable to attach them to. And then also, if you can hang them out of the animal's reach, which I know isn't always possible, especially if you're dealing with goats or sheep. They're more agile and they're curious.
And like to jump.
Yeah, exactly. And check out what's hanging up above them. But if you're able to hang them up out of the reach of livestock, that's great. And then also the heat lamp bulbs. So you want to use the bulbs that are made out of heavy-duty, thicker glass, and try and avoiding the bulbs that are made out of thin glass, because again, if the heat lamp were to fall, the thin glass bulbs are more likely to break easier than the ones made out of the hard glass. And then some other precautions that people take is making sure that you have a quality breaker box that is designed to trip the breaker if the heat lamp were to spark. Some people also go as far as installing a smoke detector in their barn, which is a great option, but I know that's not something everyone can do. And then also, if you keep a fire extinguisher in the barn, then it's nice and handy. So we want to do everything we can to prevent a fire from starting, but if one does, hopefully having that fire extinguisher there, you can stop it from spreading.
Yeah, last thing you want is like the cow that knocked over the lamp in Chicago to cause the basically burn the entire town
down.
Yeah,
I don't definitely.
Know how that I don't know how that burned the entire town down, but that still kind of blows my mind hearing that story. So, all right, well, thank you very much. We're going to go ahead and take a break because we are near the top of the hour, but we will bring you guys back after the news, and we'll discuss some more things.
Sounds good.
All right. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Your news is coming up here in just a few minutes. Good morning. We are back with a Green Side Up with Jacob Weber and David Skrantz. And Jacob, starting the second part of the program, you said you wanted to talk about dormant seeding.
Dormant seeding of fescue lawns. Sometimes we want to do a little bit of overseeding to thicken up a bare area in the fescue lawn, or maybe just the lawn has thinned out somewhat. Overseeding is a way of getting more plants started so the lawn fills out and is more of a turf instead of a patchy clump of grass here and there. But overseeding most of the time is done during the growing season, usually late summer, August and September, ideal time for overseeding. Sometimes we miss that opportunity, maybe for one reason or the other. Maybe the weather isn't cooperating. It's a little bit more difficult at that time, or other issues come up. So a good opportunity to overseed the lawn is at a time when the grass seed does not germinate during the winter months. The purpose is to get the seed into the ground when the opportunity exists for doing that during the winter months, and allow that grass seed to be there as the soil warms up in the spring. At the earliest opportunity for that grass seed to germinate, it does, and it starts growing. And it typically will start growing several weeks earlier than at the earliest opportunity we can overseed in the spring. And so that grass plant gets up and grows, and generally is growing ahead of any competition from weeds. Now, the caveat is that you cannot put on a crabgrass preventer when you overseed. So that won't work. If you overseed, dormant overseed, and then put your crabgrass preventer on, you just wasted your time. But it allows the grass plant to grow and become established fairly well before we get into the hot, drier part of the summer when it puts a lot of stress on those grass plants. Later seeding and overseeding in the spring usually does not result in very good success. I've dormant seeded a couple of times, and it works fairly well. That's a good opportunity. The other opportunity, of course, is to overseed early spring is after the soil starts warming up. But then usually about that time, we're starting to get a little competition from the existing turf grass growing and also from weeds that start to grow here in early spring as well. So that's one of the things that you can do here during between Christmas and New Year's if you get the opportunity or need an opportunity to get out of the house. That's one of the activities you can do.
Those weeds always getting in the way. So
yep.
Always trying to weed out the grass, basically. The pun was not intended there.
Yeah.
So, well, one of the things that I've, you know, you told me about this when we first started, and you said it's just kind of a little fun story.
A fun story, yeah.
And it's about how the name of the show came about, Green Side Up.
Yeah, that was quite a few years ago, and I don't remember the name of the host for the show, but during the off-air time, I told him a little story about a contractor, a landscape contractor that was doing a very good job, had a lot of success because he employed some well-trained students from Kansas State University from the horticulture department. Yeah, they were a high-class individuals, did a good job. And, of course, time started getting tight a little bit. And he said, well, yeah, got to cut my expenses a little bit. And he noticed that the students from KU were willing to work for a substantially less amount of money. Not that KU is a bad place to go, but they were desperate as well. And so he hired them on and let the K-Staters go. So things started going downhill a little bit for the contractor, and he was having quite a bit of trouble, especially with in the area of laying sod in the spring. And he had to continually remind the KU students that when you lay sod, you lay it with the green side up. And that's how the show got its name.
That's such a good story. Oh, man. So that's a green side up. There you go. It's like,
Wow. All you folks that was wondering
and
how.
It's a joke, so I mean.
But it's a good one.
Right,
I mean,
right.
KU is a good institution.
Right.
But K-State and KU, they
competition
it's
there.
It's a good jabs. And, of course, KU has good jabs coming back at K-State.
Right.
So we acknowledge the fact that this exists, and it's all for good fun.
Exactly. It's not meant to be personal to anybody.
That's
it's just
right.
It's just a good little joke between institutions, but I had to remember to put the green side up. So, just a few more things before we get out of here today. Like you said, your very first show, May 2nd, 1990. Did you ever think it would be on this long?
I had no idea. And it started out as a summer show. And I like to mention Joni at Green Acres. She sponsored this show for years. And I remember Joni when she was a student of Joe Shannon here at Coffeyville Community College. And I remember Joe and Joni talking about starting the business over here that has been quite successful. Appreciate the fact that she sponsored the show for all those years. Man. Very nice.
And they still do. In fact, just before we came back on, we ran one of their promos before it. And
yeah.
And I think it even says in the promo, it says we're a proud sponsor of Greenside Up. So so they've definitely been a longtime sponsor. So obviously thanking them. If you have a call for Jacob, if you just want to say, congratulations to Jacob. I mean, it's a long time being on air. Give us a call, 251-6909, 1-800-252-5443, 1-800-252-KHEGF. It's the same line as our open line number, so if you just want to give a call up to Jacob just to say hi, you definitely can do that as well. So, again, 29 years on air, and let's talk about, again, who's coming in. And you say he's from the Overland Park area that will be hosting the show?
Yeah, he just graduated from K-State. I believe he's getting his master's degree. And I think this will be his first big job. I'm not sure.
Big foray, yeah.
Yeah, but it's Jesse Gilmore. I don't know a whole lot about him. David and I and James and Wendy had the opportunity to visit with him for about 45 minutes or so. And he's got quite a few ideas. I'm sure that the most important thing for him to do is to just get acquainted with everyone.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we do have some calls coming in, Jacob. So let's go ahead and get to the phones. Caller, you are on Greenside Up. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good. I just have a quick question for Jacob. Jacob, I have a silver maple tree, you know, the dreaded silver maple, in my yard. And I noticed the roots are just really overtaking the yard. What can I do about that? I mean, what's the way to take those roots and maybe, I know I'm not supposed to cut them because obviously I don't want to kill the tree.
That's one of the issues with a lot of trees. Silver maple is one, and sweet gum is another. Sycamore, I have a sycamore, the roots are on the surface, and a lot of folks don't realize that tree roots don't go down deep in the soil, like as envisioned in a lot of drawings, that the roots go down 15, 20, 30 feet into the ground. They do not do that. They can't do it because roots are living organisms that have to respire. They need oxygen, and the oxygen, the greater concentration of oxygen, is going to be near the soil surface. And so some trees' roots will stay down a little deeper, 8 to 10 inches, maybe 12 inches to almost 2 feet. Majority of the roots are going to be within a top foot of the soil. Some trees have ability to just grow roots literally on the soil surface, and those roots initially are not very large. But as time goes by, as closer you get to the tree, of course, the larger those roots are in diameter. And one of the things that happens with tree roots is they put more wood growth on the top side than on the bottom side. So it appears that the roots are popping up out of the ground. In reality, they're just getting bigger. And you can't change a tree. And if you cut those roots off, you're hurting your tree. What you can do is, if you have the opportunity, if some of those roots are getting in the way and getting damaged, if you can bring in some good quality topsoil, maybe from another area of your yard, and just fill in between the roots so you can bring the soil level up to the top of the root, and nothing more than that. You don't want to just put a whole bunch of soil, bury those roots 6 to 8 inches deep. That hurts the tree roots because it cuts off oxygen to the roots. So just fill in between the roots and level off the ground, and that will help out some. As I don't recommend you cutting roots unless it's just absolutely necessary to preserve a sidewalk or a foundation or something like that. Beyond that, I don't have any other suggestions.
Okay, well, that helps me a lot. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you very much, caller. We appreciate you calling today here on Greenside Up. We did have somebody else calling. They dropped off the line. If you want to call back, caller, we still have just a few more moments here on Greenside Up with Jacob Weber and also David Skrantz here this morning. It is 8:23. Open line will be coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll see if the caller does call back. And there they are right there. So let's go ahead and get back to the phones. Caller, you're on open line. Or not open line. You're on Greenside Up. Good morning. How are you doing?
Mr. Weber, I'm sorry to hear you're going. Are you still going to be working on the staff, or are you just with the show?
I'm retiring. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to get in my rocking chair out on the front porch, and I'm going to watch the cars go by.
Well, I heard the story that when you got hired, they hired you in the wrong space, and somebody else the same name. So are you going to coach men's basketball, and Coach Weber's going to come down here and do the show?
my abilities as far as basketball or football or anything like that, sports, is historically been not so good. Now, I did
get... Kansas State fan, you did a damn good job on the show. We love you.
Thank you.
Anyhow, have a good day. Have a good retirement.
Thank you.
God bless.
Take care.
All right. Thank you very much, caller. We do appreciate you calling and giving Jacob some well wishes. So that is going to be it for the last time, Jacob. Any last words for us before you head off?
Okay. If you have questions about gardening, of course, you're going to have a new person to answer the questions. I'll be around to assist if they're not directly to the public, but to assist the new horticulture agent that have questions. And of course, David and James and Wendy are also going to be the primary assistants for Jesse. So I'd like to welcome Jesse to the Wildcat District team and wish him well.
All right. Well, Jacob, thank you very much, especially for all the years that you've done this show. And we definitely appreciate it. And I hope you enjoy your retirement, sir.
Thank you.
All right. And Dave, and thank you very much for coming on today. And I guess we'll see you again here in a few weeks.
Yes. So, thank you.
All righty. That's going to be it for Greenside Up. We have Open Line coming up here in just about 5 minutes. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.
Fox News. I'm Chris.